I spent the weekend in my hometown of Urbana, Illinois, the home of the University of Illinois, which has not gotten a dime in state funding for 10 months because of a budget standoff between the new Republican governor and the Democratic legislature. The University of Illinois usually relies on hundreds of millions of dollars in direct appropriations from the state. Now, we've heard about Chicago State University, which is a public university that serves mostly African-American students, that is already laying off employees and is in danger of closing. Larger universities like the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign have other sources of funding to rely on during the budget crisis, but even if there is a budget deal, state universities in Illinois and around the country are having to rely on other sources of funding to make ends meet because state budgets have been cutting back on public universities. Joining us now to discuss is Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, how much of an anomaly is the situation in Illinois when it comes to these public universities? Are others around the country in danger as well?
It's not an anomaly at all. It's part of a national story. And I do think it's worth connecting a few dots here because the origin of this story is not obvious to a lot of people. Let's go back to 2008. The recession hits. People lose their jobs, so state income taxes go down. People buy less stuff, so sales taxes go down. The states don't have the option to run a big deficit like the federal government did, so they have to cut spending. And one place they cut it is in public support for higher education. 5 years later, these states had collectively cut $15 billion in change in college and university funding across the country. In a Washington Post survey of public universities, 90% of them saw budget cuts. And so the big question there becomes, how do you make back the money? And one of the places they've been making it back is in cutting pay for teachers who are there, cutting pay for admins who are there, and then sometimes letting in students who will pay a little bit more.
Foreign students often coming from China and other places who are willing to pay full freight in these places. And they've also boosted tuition. But I guess you do both of those things and you end up making it more difficult for the in-state students that these universities were designed for in the first place to go at an affordable level to a very quality university in this country.
Right. This is the big story, I think, right now in higher education. In the 1970s, public universities were truly public. The state governments provided 75% of public college funding. Now it's closer to 23%. These public universities are funded now by a smattering of state budgets and federal budgets and a little bit of endowments and some tuition. But because you've had such enormous cuts at the state level, the easiest way to make it up is to make the consumer pay more, to make the students pay more. And indeed, you've seen average tuition costs rise by about $2,000 per student.
Yeah.
So you do see that it's become a little bit more of a reach for these public schools to be for the public good.
And then you've got the idea of them to begin with. And when I fly into my hometown of Urbana, or you go into an Ann Arbor, Michigan, or a Bloomington, Indiana, or a Madison, Wisconsin, or any of these other college towns across this country, home to these large universities, I see these little oases, in the prairie, places that have attracted talent from all over the world, centers of research and creativity, places that cannot be built overnight. They've been built over decades and more than 100 years in many cases, and are now allowing Americans of all income levels access to that kind of creativity and thought and cutting edge everything. Why is it so unpopular to come up with the money to fund them?
This is a huge question. One problem is that colleges aren't like other goods where the consumer tends to pay the full cost. Typically, they've been a subsidized good. State and federal spending has taken care of most of the cost of these public universities. But right now, as you've seen in Washington for the last 7 years, 8 years, you have enormous quarterly debates about whether or not we can raise federal spending on absolutely anything. And so it becomes more difficult to provide public spending of any public good. But you raise a really interesting point when you were talking about, on the one hand, the research capacities of these colleges, and on the other hand, their role in helping income inequality, yeah, helping intergenerational mobility. You know, it raises the question, what is the point of a public university? Is it to come up with cutting-edge research, or is it to be an equalizer? The answer, I hope, is both. But these two purposes come from two different revenue streams, actually. The federal government takes care of most of federal research investments, but it's the states that have typically been responsible for continuing to fund public education so that it hasn't had to come out of the pockets of working class, lower and middle income families. So you do think, I think you have a problem that's not just at the federal level, but at the state level as well. How can we make sure that we continue to fund public universities so they can continue to be both wellsprings of research and forces for income equality?
That's Derek Thompson, a senior editor at The Atlantic. We welcome your thoughts at hereandnow.org. Derek, thanks so much.
Thank you.